September 2008. A handful of SpaceX employees huddled around a laptop screen on a remote Pacific atoll, watching their fourth rocket attempt climb toward the stars. When Falcon 1 finally reached orbit, they erupted, chanting, dancing on the beach, celebrating something far bigger than a technical achievement. They'd just shattered a psychological barrier that had stood for half a century. Space was no longer the exclusive playground of superpowers. Elon Musk had bet $100 million of his own money on a radical idea that modern computing could replace million-dollar space-grade equipment, that stripping away bureaucracy could revolutionize rocket construction. That night's celebration marked the beginning of a transformation that would democratize the cosmos itself. What if the technology in your smartphone could control a satellite? Three NASA scientists, Robbie Schlingler, Will Marshall, and Chris Boschuizen, asked exactly that question. Traditional Earth imaging satellites cost up to $1 billion each, took years to build, and operated for decades. Planet Labs flipped this model entirely. Deploy hundreds of shoebox-sized satellites costing under $1 million each, replace them every few years with improved technology, and photograph every spot on Earth daily. Their first prototype literally used a smartphone as its brain. Without funds for proper facilities, they built satellites in makeshift laboratories, using greenhouses and Amazon air filters. When early Doves overheated in orbit, engineers simply uploaded new code, treating spacecraft like apps needing updates. By 2017, Planet launched 88 satellites simultaneously from India, creating a constellation that transformed Earth observation from scarce luxury to abundant resource. Today, their network tracks deforestation in real time, monitors illegal fishing fleets, verifies carbon offset programs, and provides transparency that was previously impossible. The implications are staggering. Anyone with internet access can now observe global patterns once visible only to intelligence agencies. When Air Force Brigadier General Pete Warden took command of NASA's Ames Research Center in 2006, colleagues called him Darth Vader, and not affectionately. He arrived with 25 years of pent-up frustration about aerospace bureaucracy that prioritized perfection over innovation. Ames had faded from glory, losing talent to nearby Silicon Valley startups. Warden's solution? Inject Silicon Valley's culture directly into NASA's veins. He recruited entrepreneurs like Chris Kemp, who'd founded a successful vacation rental company, to run technology departments. He told new hires to do what you want and break rules. When Will Marshall and other Pete's kids traveled internationally with NASA laptops containing open-source software, they triggered an FBI espionage investigation, highlighting the culture clash between Warden's approach and government tradition. His management style made enemies, yelling at underperformers, attempting to fire unproductive employees, criticizing NASA's expensive programs. Eventually, political pressure forced his retirement. But his legacy lived on through the talented people he assembled and empowered, including Planet Labs founders, proving that government agencies can nurture revolution when led by those willing to challenge everything. Peter Beck grew up at the world's edge in Invercargill, New Zealand, a sleepy city of 60,000 with zero aerospace industry. His father, Russell, ran the local museum and transformed their garage into an R&D laboratory where experimentation was sacred. While teenagers rebuilt cars, Beck built aluminum mountain bikes from scrap at 14, rebuilt rusted cars at 15, and left school at 16 for a precision engineering apprenticeship. His rocket obsession began with homemade jet engines, escalating to increasingly dangerous experiments, rocket-powered bikes reaching 90 miles per hour, rocket-powered scooters, even a jetpack worn while roller skating. His future wife, Karen, became his safety officer. He'd call before tests, instructing her to summon emergency services if he didn't call back within minutes. In 2005, Beck made a pilgrimage to America's aerospace centers, carrying a scrapbook to prove his legitimacy. At NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, he expected cutting-edge innovation, but found outdated equipment and bureaucratic malaise. "It destroyed me," he recalled. On his flight home, Beck experienced his revelation. If the establishment had abandoned innovation, he'd built cheap, reliable rockets himself. He named his venture Rocket Lab, and despite minimal funding and New Zealand's complete lack of aerospace infrastructure, eventually built the revolutionary Electron rocket using carbon fiber bodies, electric turbopumps, and 3D printed engines, all radical approaches that established players had dismissed as impossible. By 2016, rumors circulated about a secretive startup building tiny rockets in San Francisco's SoMa district. When former NASA executive Chris Kemp joined as CEO in 2017, he rebranded the company Astra with an audacious vision: manufacture rockets for just $1 million that could launch 150 pounds to orbit, automate everything, and operate from mobile barges. Astra's approach was ruthlessly minimalist: aluminum instead of carbon fiber, hand-built engines, electronics stripped to essentials. Their team was equally unconventional. Rose Jornalis had repaired aircraft electronics in Afghanistan before waitressing. Bill Geese, the rainbow-haired electrician, had been homeless at 18. When ordered to remove razor wire, Kemp doubled it. After an engine test set their roof on fire, employees secretly repaired it before inspectors noticed. Despite never reaching orbit successfully, Astra announced a 2021 SPAC merger valuing them at $2 to $4 billion. Meanwhile, Ukrainian tech mogul Max Polyakov pursued his own rocket dream. His parents were Soviet aerospace scientists who'd warned him against the field after the USSR's collapse. Polyakov built an empire spanning dating sites, gaming, and AI, cash machines generating hundreds of millions annually. In 2017, he acquired bankrupt Firefly Aerospace, investing over $200 million. By 2020, U.S. agencies forced him to sell, citing national security concerns, despite never presenting evidence. By early 2022, he'd lost control entirely, just as Russia invaded Ukraine, demonstrating space technology's military significance. Low Earth orbit is now so congested that startups track objects as small as a few centimeters. In 15 years, the space industry has transformed completely. SpaceX's reusable rockets slashed launch costs by 90%. Planet Labs democratized satellite imagery. Rocket Lab proved small nations could compete. Yet sustainability questions linger. Many companies went public during the 2020-2021 SPAC boom with questionable business models, and now face pressure to demonstrate profitability. Behind the technology are stories of extraordinary sacrifice. Beck tested volatile propellants in remote locations, one mistake from death. Marshall recorded nearly every conversation for 5 years, analyzing speech patterns to optimize his life. Polyakov invested $200 million to preserve Ukraine's aerospace legacy. These entrepreneurs share obsessive dedication that strains relationships, willingness to take enormous risks, and rare ability to inspire impossible missions. What distinguishes them from previous visionaries is their pragmatism, building sustainable businesses addressing immediate needs while developing technologies for future ambitions. The heavens are now on sale, with over 100 private space companies generating $350 billion annually. What began with 15 engineers on a Pacific beach has become a global industry reshaping humanity's cosmic future. Space access is no longer reserved for governments and billionaires, but increasingly available to scientists, entrepreneurs, and dreamers worldwide. The question isn't whether we'll continue expanding into space, it's how we'll manage this frontier, balancing commercial interests, environmental concerns, and our collective aspirations to explore beyond Earth.